Anyway, how lovely to be with you all this morning. I've said several times I had no idea who would turn up. We've got services on in all our churches this morning, and it's a beautiful morning, and the hour has changed. And it's just what a delight that you're all here and we're gathered here on this Mothering Sunday morning to say thank you to God for all the good things that He has given us. And so let's turn to our preparation. O Lord, open our lips, and our mouths shall proclaim your praise. Welcome in the name of Christ. God's grace, mercy, and peace be with you, and also with you. Let us thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. Let us offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and tell of his acts with shouts of joy. Come, worship the God who said, "As a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you." We will come before our God. Gather us now before you, O God, as a hen gathers her brood to protect them. Like a mother, you gather your people to you. You are gentle with us as a mother with her children. As we meet today and follow your example, protect us, support us, and feed us with your unconditional love. Amen. On this Mothering Sunday, we open our hearts before you, faithful God, bringing those we love and those we struggle to love, those we have lost and those we are afraid of losing. We bring our tears and our joy, our disappointments and our hopes. We bring all that we carry and all that we long to lay down in Jesus' name. Amen. So let us say sorry to God for those things that we have said or thought or done that have spoilt his image in us. God of the prodigal and the elder sons, we are sorry for the times we get lost in our world with no thought for others. Forgive us and help us to find our way home. We are sorry when we use our resources selfishly. Forgive us and help us to find our way home. We are sorry when we doubt your love and our pride prevents us from admitting our mistakes. Forgive us and help us to find our way home. We are sorry when we resent your generosity towards others and judge their failures more harshly than our own. Forgive us and help us to find our way home. We are sorry when we hurt those we love and abuse their trust. Forgive us and help us to find our way home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Faithful God, in a world that judges and blames, you forgive and understand. In a world that has no time for failure and mistakes, you forgive and understand. Thank you that your heart is so full of love, it can never run out. Amen. The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen. And we turn to our psalm, Psalm 34, beginning at verse 11, and we say the refrain together. O taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Come, my children, and listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is there who delights in life and longs for days to enjoy good things? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from lying words. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. O taste and see that the Lord is gracious. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to root out the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears them and delivers them out of their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and will save those who are crushed in spirit. O taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Many are the troubles of the righteous. From them all will the Lord deliver them. He will keep all their bones so that not one of them is broken. O taste and see that the Lord is gracious. Send your holy angels to watch over us, O God, that on our lips will be found your truth and in our hearts your love, so that we may ever taste your goodness in the land of the living, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. David's going to give us our first reading.
And the first reading is taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 16. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And our canticle this morning, a song of God's children, a verses taken from Romans. And we begin by saying all together, the Spirit of the Father, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, gives life to the people of God. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set us free from the law of sin and death. All who are led by the Spirit of God are God's, are children of God, for we have received the Spirit that enables us to cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness that we are children of God, and if God's children, then heirs of God. If heirs of God, then fellow heirs with Christ, since we suffer with him now, that we may be glorified with him. These sufferings that we now endure are not worth comparing to the glory that shall be revealed. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The Spirit of the Father, who raised Christ Jesus from the dead, gives life to the people of God.
And our second reading is taken from St. Luke chapter 15. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. "Your brother has come," he replied, "and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. On Mothering Sunday, we appreciate the presence and importance of nurturing love and when we have experienced it. Life's challenges can sometimes mean we forget this love. We can become lost through the mistakes and wrong choices we make, or perhaps by the pressure and responsibility we feel under to get things right. The joy is that God's outrageous love is always, always there, welcoming us home again. Luke chapter 15 is a glorious chapter in which Jesus tells some stories around a common theme. There's the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. They are stories that focus on being lost and being found. And today's story of the lost son is up there as one of my favorites. This parable is told by Jesus in response to the resentment of the religious people. They felt superior to others. They had become judgmental. They assumed that God agreed with them. Judging or condemning other people can be a convenient way of avoiding confronting ourselves. As long as the elder brother has the younger brother to look down upon, he can assure himself that he is a good son. "There was a man who had two sons," begins the story. Nowhere in the story are we told that the man loved one son more than the other. We can assume that the father loved both. But it is clear that as we read this story, even though the story begins with the sons living in their father's home under the security of his provision, both sons are lost in some way, even though they are deeply loved. We can be deeply loved and deeply lost at the same time. We can know that we are deeply loved by our Father God and at the same time feel distant, restless, far, far away, abandoned, or on our own. So let us begin with the younger son, the one who ran away. When you hear this story, what do you think of him? Do you see something of yourself in him? Or does his selfishness, impetuousness, and carelessness take your breath away? I have to confess to having times in my life when I have been just like the younger son. I have squandered what I have been given. I also know that there were times in my life when a spot of reckless living seemed so very, very attractive. A little bit of reckless living wouldn't do any harm, would it? There was a time when living under the love and security of parents who loved me deeply seemed, well, actually it seemed rather cloying and suffocating. And let's face it, boring. I wanted to live. From what we read in the story, the younger son does not want to wait for his father's death to receive his inheritance. His father divides his property and gives the younger son what he wants, allows the son to make his own choice and to go on his way. Why does the father do that? Perhaps he knows that the son is lost anyway. If he stays at home, he will still be lost. He will have to find a way to be found once more. Of course, for the father, this would have been an extremely painful moment. It would have involved the selling of land and cattle. The youngest son's request was a direct and public insult to his father, embarrassing, humiliating, a complete rejection of all that his father had given and provided. But then we read that the younger son quickly gets through the cash and finds himself penniless and friendless. In desperation, the son hired himself out to a Gentile to feed pigs. This would have been repugnant to a Jew. Pigs were considered unclean. It is at that point that we are told that the young son came to his senses, or came to himself, as the Bible puts it. He realized that his sin, his mistake, his error, is not just against his earthly father, but it is, in the deepest sense, against God himself. He thinks things through and works out that his only chance of survival is to go home, say sorry, and ask to become his father's servant. I can't help but wonder what the son was thinking as he sat in that pigsty, deciding whether or not to eat the pig's food. Was he genuinely sorry? Or was he just sorry that his adventure hadn't worked out? After all, it wasn't just that he had run out of cash. The famine hadn't helped. The boy's reason and motivation for returning home doesn't seem to matter. He is welcomed by his father, who has been watching and waiting for him to return. When you read the story, there is little doubt that the younger son felt his father's forgiveness and his welcome. His father runs to meet him. He embraces him. He hugs him and lavishes him with all the trappings of the finest welcome, wonderful new clothes, jewels, and then he throws a party. The father's love is wild, unfettered, unpredictable, overwhelmingly generous, and in many, many ways, unfair. It is a picture of God's love for us, wild, unfettered, overwhelming and generous. He loves us all equally and unconditionally. I would love to know what happened next, but the story of the younger son ends there. What happened once the party was over and the fatted calf was eaten? Did the son get up early the next morning and start working, getting his hands dirty in the family business? Did he say sorry to his brother? Did he take care of his father? What happened when he met with the neighbours? Did he try and reinvent himself, telling an edited version of his own story? Or did he understand that saying sorry and genuinely meaning it takes more than a heart-wrenching little speech? Whatever his motivation to return, whatever happened afterwards, all we know is that the father ran to welcome his young son. Reasons why and what if don't seem to matter to the father. The father cared for nothing so much as to have his young son in his arms, safe and at home. And what about the elder son, the one who stayed at home, the responsible one, the one who didn't cause any trouble? Is he the son you relate to? It's difficult not to feel sorry for him. After all, in many ways, he was right. He had justice on his side. He too had had to bear the consequences of his younger brother's recklessness. It was understandable that he should ask why his own loyalty seemed to count for so little. Why hadn't he been given a party? It's also understandable that he should feel that his father's version of love is scandalous, risky, undignified, and completely over the top. I wonder what the older son made of his father's final words to him. We have to celebrate and rejoice. It was fitting to be glad. Celebration, joy, and forgiveness are a hallmark of the father's house. Had the older son realized that before? I wonder what he did next. The younger son had gone inside, and the father is going to join him. What will the older son do? Will he join them and enter into the celebration? Or will he remain outside, refusing to come in, determined to be lost in his refusal to be welcomed and included? And what, I found myself thinking this week, if there had been a mother in this story, what would she have said to her husband and her two sons, to her neighbours and her friends? Dead or alive, lost and found, the father only has two categories. All the father wants to do is to love his children and for them to know that they are loved by him. He wants them to be fully alive and to be found. May we know the welcoming embrace of our Heavenly Father, and may we too thank God for those people who have welcomed us, forgiven us, and shown God's love to us. Amen.
In the shadow of your wings, we sing for joy. O Lord, restore us and make us new. God of love, for the softening of our hearts and the opening of our arms, for generosity that welcomes the lost, for our need of your tenderness to restore our failures, for our churches to be renewed in loving and giving, for the courage to lay down our lives for one another, for the strength to answer your call to serve others, for a new start, we cry to you, bring healing and hope. God of love, for all who carry the scars of conflict, the external and internal signs of pain endured, for the lost and lonely, the displaced and the dispossessed, for all whose lives have been broken, and for those in our own community who are suffering. And here we remember those who are ill, Jacques, Jen, Jennifer, Alan, Aileen, Rosemary, Ali, Brenda, Addie, Kathy, Olivia, Gerald, Cynthia, Rod, Pippa, Joe, and Stephen. And for all who wait powerless at the bedside of the ill and the dying, and here we pause to remember those who have died. Heavenly Father, we remember Michael Childs, Gordon Millier, Doreen Wyatt, Tim Prince, and Richard Hurley. For all of them, we cry to you, bring healing and hope. God of love, for the needs of our own communities, for families under pressure, for people struggling with rising bills, for people in debt and distress who have nowhere to turn, for all who need to know today they are loved, for all who are bringing up children amid the pressures of today's world, for the sacrifices that form the fabric of parenthood, and for children and young people facing a future full of challenges, we cry to you,
bring healing and hope.
God of love, for mothers who are apart from their children, for all motherless and lost children, for all of us whose mothers have died, for a parent or parents of a child who has died, and for children without parents, for all who long for children but are unable to have them, for all the struggles of family life, for children far away from home, for unaccompanied children fleeing fighting, and for children whose homes are not places of safety and kindness. We cry to you,
bring healing and hope.
God of love, for the places in Ukraine that are now our litany of despair, for towns razed to the ground, for communities wiped entirely from the map, for the besieged, the abducted, and the starving, for motherless children in a war zone, for the injured and the dying, and for those who weep by their side, we cry to you.
Bring healing and hope.
God of love, for the places in the world that are torn by conflict, from Myanmar, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, and Yemen, for the hungry and the homeless, for the persecuted and the oppressed, for all who need safety and shelter, for those whose rights are denied, for the places where truth cannot be spoken and where dissenting voices are silenced, we cry to you,
bring healing and hope.
God of love, for simple pleasures in the midst of challenge and hardship, for lengthening hours of daylight, for people who lift our burdens, wipe away our tears, share our lives and our dreams, and call out our best selves, for your faithful presence with us through darkness and light, and for a deeper experience of your love which shapes us, calls us, rescues us, and will bring us home, we cry to you.
Bring healing and hope. In the shadow of your wings we sing for joy. O Lord, restore us and make us new.
Amen. The Collect for Mothering Sunday. God of compassion, whose son, Jesus Christ, the child of Mary, shared the life of a home in Nazareth, and on the cross drew the whole human family to himself, strengthen us in our daily living, that in joy and in sorrow we may know the power of your presence to bind together and to heal. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So, trusting in the compassion of God, as our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come,
your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. Christ so loved the world that he sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit so loves the world that he sends us out in love to be loved. And may God, who gave birth to all creation, bless us. May God, who became incarnate by an earthly mother, bless us. May God, who broods as a mother over her children, bless us. May Almighty God bless us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Thank you, David. Thank you, Anne. I hope you all have a very blessed and lovely day in the sunshine. The usual things are on this week, the coffee morning on Wednesday morning, the Compline on Wednesday evening at 7. The details are there. You're very welcome to join us, and it really won't matter if you're positive or negative for either of those things, because you can still come and join us for those. I hope you're all feeling better. There's a lot of illness about, so I hope you all feel better and hope to see you soon. The details I'll give out. Well done, you phoners who've managed to access the phone on Zoom. I'm just going to try and see if I can find a way in the next couple of weeks of having just one set of numbers and postcodes, but don't hold, not postcodes, what are they called? Passcodes. But don't hold your breath. Well, postcodes too, but you know. Anyway, have a lovely day. God bless. Bye-bye. Yeah,
bye, everybody. Bye. Bye.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Steph. Bye.
See you at the coffee morning or Compline or next somewhere. Week. Bye-bye.